It is so good to be recording again, and unfortunately, I'm recording while I assume these are the effects of food poisoning. Welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast, where we learned a hard lesson that perhaps low-quality meat is not worth it. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm all right. But I do have this cough. I'm pretty sure there's this new... There's a bug going around. Not sure what it is, but it's really annoying. And that's it, really. This episode is going to be interesting, right? Because, for one, we're going to stop focusing on art. I love art, and I love talking about it, right? The problem is, it seems that it's not everyone's strong suit. So I think I know what is, okay? The episode regarding abandoned stores was very popular. So I feel like what people really want to hear about is how in middle America, there's a whole bunch of stuff that just seems to go overlooked by people on the coasts or people outside, you know? The Midwest is a very interesting place in the United States, okay? And I'm talking as someone who knows that the reach is outside of the US. I want everyone to know around the world that in the United States, the Midwest is one of the most interesting places in the world. If only because... there's so much interaction with nature and people, and there's this thing where the landmass, okay, the Midwest, the landmass of the Midwest in the United States is massive, okay? You could fit entire countries in there, and then every neighboring country. It's just massive, right? So imagine miles and miles of space followed by just what I would call freedom, honestly. It's just absolute freedom. And I wanted to talk about that because back in the day when I was over the road driving, I loved going to the Midwest. Anyway. Alrighty then. Picture this, if you will. What if I told you that there was an area where, as beautiful and as green as it seems, every now and then, a gigantic column of spinning air comes and flattens the land, completely destroying everything, flattening terrain, throwing cars as if they were toys miles away, and ripping trees out of the ground and swinging them around wildly to the point where if anything touches those trees, they are instantly destroyed. This land is beautiful. This land is gorgeous. It represents freedom. You could do whatever you want in it. But once every now and then, hunker the fuck down. That sounds kind of like a part of the Midwest. And let me tell you why it piqued my interest, okay? Recently, I've been watching a lot of storm chasers, okay? And the Midwest has a lot of big storms. They've got a lot of tornadoes. I'm thinking of one in particular, right? Now, imagine that same scenario, okay? The column of air can be really big, right? Several hundred feet wide. And that's a standard tornado. It's not too big, but it's not something to mess with, okay? And that's what I'm talking about, tornadoes. Now, okay, this is for people, like, I feel like Americans have that idea. We know what a tornado is. We're used to them. We see them. We know exactly what to do when we see them. But people outside of the United States probably don't know that a tornado is nothing to be fucked with, right? It's a beautiful sight. There are millions of images of these things. But oh my God, they are beautiful, right? They're beautiful and destructive, period. That's it. Okay. So this giant column of air, let's say, just starts getting way, way bigger, right? How big? 2.6 miles or 4.2 kilometers for those listening outside. Imagine a gust of wind 4.2 kilometers wide, so powerful it could rip the skin off of your arm. It's so powerful, okay? I'm talking... devastatingly huge, devastatingly powerful. We're talking about El Reno. One of the biggest tornadoes, if not the biggest tornadoes, to ever hit anywhere ever. It happened in 2013, and ever since it happened, looking into it, it is... wow, it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. This happened, guess where? That's right, Oklahoma. The Midwest. Of course, I feel like... in its beauty, right? In its absolutely terrifying, in its most chaotic, tornadoes can be beautiful. You have to find beauty in chaos because the truth is, after I've only seen videos of it. I've never experienced it firsthand, but I do want to one day. As devastating as it can be, there's a sense of community after a tornado hits where everyone's watching out for each other. Everyone's making sure everyone else is okay. You know, there are some tragedies. It's a mixture of emotions there, okay? It's one thing that I've never been through, but I know many people who have been through those situations. The thing is, nature itself seems to heal afterwards. And again, the community comes together and they start fixing each other up. They make sure everyone's okay. Now, this is such a uniquely Midwestern thing that me not being from the Midwest, but being through there once a few times, you know, I wasn't born there, okay? All I could say is I've only been through there, but those who have lived through the Midwest, they have a unique perspective on this. They've been through it, you know? This is their life. This isn't some movie. This isn't some cosplay. This isn't some acting. This is them living their day-to-day lives out in the Midwest. My hats are off to them for having such a unique life experience. Because I've only ever been through the places, right? But I've always thought of myself, what if this was my life? What if one day I lived out here? You know, small town, traditional values, stuff like that. Well, I know you guys hear that, right? Do you hear this? Do you hear that shaking? There's something up with this desk that I have. I gotta fix that. Hang on, this is distracting me. There we go. Sorry about that. That actually took a lot of trial and error. One specific thing was rocking back and forth on my desk, and I couldn't find out what it was. It was a tiny statue of the Buddha. Let's talk about tornadoes in the Midwest, okay? Because that's not the only thing I'm going to talk about. Obviously, tornadoes do happen in the Midwest, but not that's not the only thing that happens. We're going to go in depth about the Midwest because I feel like it's underappreciated, okay? Look, I'm saying that as someone who's lived in the U.S. my whole life and has had people, like, come over from other countries and said, oh, I want to go to California or I want to go to New York. There's an entire country in between those two, man. Come on. You got to really appreciate it. When I think of the United States, when I think of America, I don't think of California and New York. I think of the Midwest. You know? They keep that shit real. They keep that shit humble. I love it. I love it. This is your appreciation episode, by the way. Those who are living in the Midwest hearing this, this is for you. Because you guys are fucking awesome. And you don't get enough credit. I'm saying that right now. You guys don't get enough credit for how much you do. And how, you know, and how beautiful your landmass is. Landmass? Why the fuck I say it like that? We're going to talk about it, okay? We're going to talk about it. We started with tornadoes because that's the biggest eye grabber, you know? People hear about tornadoes and some of them will just think of movies, you know, but I want to tell people right now, okay, this is directed at people living outside the Midwest, everyone listening, watch actual storm chasing videos, not movies, actual storm chasers, okay? There are people that dedicate their lives. They'll grab a camera, they'll grab a truck that's armored, you know, that's ready for battle, and they will drive as close as they can to a tornado. Don't get too close. But get just close enough to get proper footage. Because the thing is, tornadoes are such a unique phenomenon in the way that they act. They're a force of nature that is still yet to be studied properly. And that's fucking incredible to me, right? It's the same level of interest. It's the same level of intrigue as the ocean. Because the ocean hasn't been mapped out all the way. Well, yeah, we still don't know fully how tornadoes work. We know we have a good idea. We have a decent gist of it, right? But you really don't fully grasp every single individual tornado, right? They're not all the exact same. They all have different levels of power. They all have level different. They have different ratings, right? There's the F scale. Looking at the scale, I'm actually interested a lot more because I realize now that I have been in one of these. I just didn't realize which one, okay? So the EF scale, I said the F scale earlier, it's the EF scale, goes from 0 to 5. Let's talk about each one, right? Because EF 0 is the most minor one. It's heavy wind speed, sure, but it's not going to destroy anything. That's the one I've been in, okay? EF0. Me being in the Midwest, I remember this, right? And to think it gets stronger and that was the least strong one, that's what blows my mind about the Midwest. You guys are fucking unbelievably, like, you guys are strong people. Okay, let me talk about it, right? Because I remember once, devastating winds for a truck because they're big, right? They have a big wall on the side. It was 65 mile per hour winds. That's EF0. That's the smallest. That's the most minimum, okay? 65 mile per hour winds start pushing trucks aside, and that's what I drove in. I was almost flipped over in the middle of Montana. Okay, 65 to 85 miles per hour, it's still an EF0. That's a minor damage. EF1 is 86 to 110. That's crazy. That's still crazy high. EF2, 111 miles an hour to 135. This is from CNN, by the way. That's strong. That's a decent one. EF2 is a strong, strong wind. EF3, 136 to 165. That's severe. That's pretty bad. EF4 is 166 to 200 miles per hour. That's devastating. EF5 is anything above 200 miles per hour. That's incredibly strong. That's fucking wild, too. Oh, there's another one. The EFU. That's the EF. That's the EF scale that is not unknown, basically. It's not known yet. So if you hear EFU, they haven't mapped how fast the wind is yet. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to read wind speed when it goes above 200 miles per hour, because what you have to understand is the equipment for this is very sensitive. I've seen it before. When I was a kid, I had a little kit, but I've seen the actual proper ones, like the actual proper strong wind reading meters and everything. Those will blow away at an EF5, okay? So anything above 200 miles per hour, it's kind of hard to read, you know? You need a really strong, hefty, really fucking strong, hefty thing to actually read that. Can you tell I'm excited about this? Tornadoes are one of my favorite subjects, dude. I'm not even fucking kidding. Tornadoes are fucking incredible. They're devastating. They're terrifying. But that's where the allure is, right? That's where the allure is. You think of forces of nature, you probably think earthquakes and stuff and volcanoes. I put tornadoes right up there with them. They don't get the fucking respect they deserve. Nature is angry when a fucking tornado's out there. But of course, for reference, many people will think of one tornado, right? Here's how, excuse me about that. Don't get cheap meat. the frame of reference that most people have is that when a tornado hits, it's only one. However, in 1957, not the case. Now, I know a lot of people are thinking, if you see a tornado coming, just get out of the way, right? Well, no, you really can't. They're miles wide, but their scope of influence or the amount of wind surrounding them is kind of what gets you in, right? It's like a whirlpool. Like, the center is the dangerous part, but everything around you is going to start pulling you in. That's how tornadoes work. And again, a lot of people will think, okay, there's just one big tornado, let's get out of the way, or hunker down. Okay, that's fine, but what if you're caught off guard? You know, what if it happens at night? What if it's really late at night and you're the first one to get hit by it? I'm sorry, but you're gone. Now, it's never just one tornado, is it? Okay, let's talk about the year 1957, because 1957 was the year that a lot of tornadoes hit. And I want to thank Swaggle Studios on YouTube for helping me out with this, because, oh my God, this guy does tornadoes and nothing else. Like, seriously, that's all he does. And I love it. 1957 was the year of the tornado, at least one of them, because there were many years where a lot of tornadoes hit. But in this case, three F5s hit, F5s being the strongest, 200 plus mile per hour winds, okay? So that's pretty fucking hard, with 200 fatalities that whole year. However, if three F5s doesn't sound too bad, you think, okay, three F5s, yeah, they're big, but they're really far apart and there's only three of them. And, you know, the places where they hit, yeah, it's a big wide scope. I get it, all right? I get it. Hopefully you're not near them. How about 25 F4s? 25 of them. Not three. 25. A quarter. Holy shit. Oh, my God. It gets worse. Okay. Now, you remember earlier the scope. F3s are bad, right? They're not as bad as F4s or F5s, but they're pretty bad, okay? Now, one of them on their own is pretty bad. How about 75 of them? That's 103 tornadoes in one year. So yeah, go ahead. Good luck dodging them. If you don't dodge the tiny ones, you might get the bigger ones. If you dodge those, good luck with the three super fucking massive cluster of tornadoes. What a year to be alive. What a fucking year to be alive. And this is a big and, okay? I feel like most people would assume that if there was such a devastating amount of chaos in an area like that, like the Midwest, perhaps people would leave, right? This is keep in mind, this is how many tornadoes hit in the entire year. This isn't one state. This is pretty much the entirety of the Midwest. The amount of people would probably think, okay, you either toughen the fuck up, build a storm shelter, you know, withstand the storm when it happens, and rebuild afterwards. Or you can leave, you know, you can run off, go somewhere safer, maybe the coast. That's why I tip my hat off to people from the Midwest. They said, fuck that shit, we're staying right here. This is our home, we are not going anywhere. And these tough motherfuckers rebuilt after this. Keep in mind, this is 1957. A lot of modern day technology was not around back then. They had to build everything from scratch. And then again, because it would just happen, you know, like more tornadoes would happen. Every year it's a certain amount of tornadoes that hit. It's not always like a constant barrage of tornadoes like this. But there are years, like I think it was, if I remember correctly, the theory was every 20 years a shit ton of tornadoes start hitting. But to face that and continue to live there and say this is your home and you're not going anywhere, that's some fucking tough shit right there. I like that. Tough as nails. They, in the Midwest, they build them different, okay? In the Midwest, you got some fucking balls. And I respect that heavily. As a massive pussy that lives by the coast, I can tell you right now, I could never do that. So hats off to you from the Midwest. Rebuilding seems to be something you guys know to do, how to do best. That is so fucking lit, by the way. This is 1 year. I'm talking about 1 year. There are 10 on this list. There are so many. I'm talking one by one, right? Because, again, a lot of people don't have a frame of reference for what a tornado even feels or looks like, let alone 103 of them. 103 of them. That's a fucking wild amount. Imagine going through one earthquake thinking, oh my god, that was terrible, how will we rebuild? Only for it to happen 103 times! There's nothing left! If that happened in California with the amount of earthquakes, we would be living in a pile of dust. The amount of concrete would turn to dust. I based that on nothing, but still. Yay, nothing says a clean bill of health like projectile vomiting just after recording a small bit of the podcast. I'm fine, I swear. I think I just ate too much ramen. Way too much ramen. Okay, yeah, I had to stop. I thought it was happening again. This is embarrassing. Anyway, I have a lot of news to talk about, and, you know what? It'll wait until later. I don't know if later is the right option. Okay, it'll wait until, shortly. Maybe next episode? I don't know. I'm thinking about when to mention, and next episode's fine. Anyway, returning to our theories and our appreciation for the Midwest and its immense geological and atmospheric uniqueness, there's also a nice saying, right, in the Midwest, where if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. I don't know how it's so diverse weather-wise, but it is. And it's such a unique experience. There are some places that are far hotter, sure. There are other places where it's more humid, others where it's drier. And yet, they're within a few miles of each other, right? The European mind can't comprehend that we can drive 8 hours and still be in the same state. In one direction, by the way. This is no stopping, no cities. And yet, congratulations, you're still in Texas. Look, some of these states are massive, okay? Some are far smaller, granted. I think a state that most people from across the world would be more like akin to, like, the size that would be familiar to them is, like, Rhode Island, you know? The smaller states. Maybe even Maine. Both of these states are on the East Coast, not the Midwest. So, they don't count, because Midwestern states are fucking big. And that's all they like them out there, okay? And I think I might be vomiting again. Hang on. Okay, I'm good. This sounds more concerning than it is, but I think the fact that I'm leaning forward, kind of squeezing my stomach, this definitely was... Oh, hang on, let me sit up right. Oh my god, that's way better. I'm just full. Oh god damn it. All right. Anyway, there's some videos on about the Midwest on TikTok, and I love that, right? Everyone knows TikTok's a reliable resource for learning all kinds of stuff. It's definitely a resource for misinformation now, and I hate that, I'm not gonna lie, but Yeah, there have been some videos that have gotten flagged by TikTok basically saying, be sure to get your information from a reliable source and stuff. And I thought, my brother in Christ, you are the reliable source. At least I thought, right? For the most part, it is. There are some things that it basically tries to censor or tell people, hey, you know, this is a bit of a hot topic. This is a bit of a concern. You know, things of that sort, okay? Anyway, we got here, Speak Midwestern 101. And I actually know these. It's funny seeing them because I didn't realize that I had a Midwestern dialect, which makes a lot of sense because some of the people that I've spoken to thought I was from, like, Nevada or something. Anyway, no, yeah, equals yes. Or, yeah, no, it equals no. Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely yes, 100%. That's what it means. Yeah, no, yeah. Unfortunately, the answer is yes. No, yeah, no. Oh, no, you've got nothing to worry about. Why are these... I feel like they're just universal, I think. I don't know. A lot of people right now are saying that the Midwest right now is currently dealing with an interesting heat wave because, you know, it's the summer. It's the summer, and unfortunately, in the Midwest, you deal with a lot more humidity than you would on the West or East Coast. Don't get me wrong. It's you know, it's bad everywhere because it's the summer, but the levels of humidity in the Midwest, that hits different. That hits different. Sorry about the hiccup. I freaked myself out. I kept recording just in case. Whew. I love TikTok, dude. Some of the funny videos are like, we're Midwesterners. Our stop signs like to dance. And they aim the camera at a stop sign, and it's just wiggling because of the high wind, right? And then they go, we're Midwesterners. We actually turn on the AC while driving because we're wearing too many layers. And then they pan down to the to the temperature, and it is -9 degrees. Holy shit. I like the other thing they did too, where they if you got a truck bed, some of the Midwesterners will say something like put sandbags in the back of the truck for traction. That's fucking genius. I never would have thought of that. I know he said it as a joke, but I like that. Where I'm from, you can get sandbags for free, and I'm saying that because when we had a flood, the fire department was basically giving them out. They were giving people bags, and they would let them fill up their own sandbags. And what's funny is that we didn't realize they were probably joking, but we took them anyway because I'm like, your word, and then we took them. So they didn't say anything because it's like, hey, you literally told us we could. I remember going, is this incriminating me? No, you know what? The fire department let me. This was years ago. What am I doing? Dude, I'm so tired. How's the Midwest doing, by the way? This is me asking the Midwest while talking about the Midwest. How's the Midwest doing, by the way? You guys seem to be on the hot seat in this episode. And I'm going to tell you right now, you guys deserve all the attention because the Midwest is amazing. Everyone knows that you moved to the Midwest. You moved to the Midwest for the views. Of course, the beautiful, beautiful views. The sunsets in the Midwest are something to talk about, right? I mean, I've seen them in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, where the sun hits the clouds just right. And it makes the most golden sunset. It's fucking gorgeous, right? I've seen art pieces depicting it. And let me tell you, they don't do it justice. You want to see the most immaculate, beautiful sunset you've ever seen? Go to a Walmart parking lot in the Midwest and just look at where the sun is setting. For whatever reason, when you're at a parking lot of any kind, they just hit different. The sunset is beautiful at a store. I don't know why. It always seems to work that way. Even over here, they're not as beautiful as in the Midwest. Like out here in California, the sunsets, it's just okay. But I've seen the sunsets out there in Arizona. Again, I'm talking more like desert areas, you know, like the hotter places. It's nice. It's nice, especially Phoenix. I remember going in Phoenix once to just see the sunset, and I thought, fuck, I want to take a picture. But it will not do it justice because you don't feel the warmth, the power, the presence. I heard a bird on my window again. Dude, I'm serious. I'm trying to record this podcast, right? But we have a lot more wildlife out here where I'm living now. And these birds, I don't know what kind they are, but they keep nesting here. And we've knocked down their nest, and they just build it again. They don't want to leave. If you're in the Midwest, you don't call it a turn signal. You call it a blinker. And if you're in the Midwest and you want to wave to someone, you wave with your fingers. You don't get your hands off that steering wheel. Here. I don't know what that was. I do not know what that was. I'm trying to be relatable to the Midwest, okay? I just love it. If it wasn't for the amount of family that I had here living in California, I would have moved to the Midwest. It seems charming. I like it. As a Californian, there is something I'm jealous of in the Midwest. Well, two big things, okay? One is they're both lists, actually, now that I think about it. The Midwest has a lot of very nice lakes that you can go to hang out in. California is very dry. Yeah, we have the ocean, but that's salt water, man. Salt water, okay? And most of the trash from super billionaire companies, they all go to the ocean, right? So the ocean's fucking dirty. I hate to say it, but it used to be a beautiful place to go, and now it's just not, okay? Every time I go to the beach, it smells of runoff. It smells of sewage runoff. And it's me being polite. It smells like shit. But the Midwest, they have these nice little lakes, and some of them are tainted, don't get me wrong. You know, there's these huge companies everywhere polluting the water. But what they can't pollute is the giant food statues in the Midwest, and I fucking love that. This is from the mindstory.org. The M in Midwest stands for massive food sculptures. I couldn't agree more, okay? We're just going to go off the list of all the giant food sculptures in the Midwest. Like the world's largest strawberry in Strawberry Point, Iowa. It's a giant strawberry. And I want to see it in person. These photos don't do it just... That looks like a real strawberry. That's fucking incredible. Okay, next one is the Jolly Green Giant. Blue Earth, Minnesota. Everyone knows the Jolly Green Giant as a brand of like sweet peas and stuff like that. You know, a variety of green vegetables are from the Jolly Green Giant brand. But what about the giant himself? Well, he's in Blue Earth, Minnesota. A 55-foot-tall smiling green giant. Holy shit. Imagine if it was real. Like an actual human 55-foot-tall. That'd be horrifying. We got here the Mentone Egg in Mentone, Indiana. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But the Mentone Egg is just that. A giant egg. And it has written on it, the Egg Basket of the Midwest. If that is the case, I would like to go there because I'm assuming the egg prices are still low down there. Or out there. Or the way east of here? Where are we? I like that. I like that a lot. It's a giant egg. Keep it simple, you know? Now, the next one is in Collinsville, Illinois. If you don't know what I'm talking about, neither do I. I'm looking at this live with you, okay? The world's largest catsup bottle. Not ketchup. Catsup. C-A-T-S-U-P. Okay? World's largest. How big is that thing? Looks like a water tower, actually. It's pretty damn big. How big is it? Come on. A 170 feet tall bottle of catsup. That's really something. What brand is it? Brooks brand. Nice. Oh, that's cute. I like that one. Okay, the world's largest Swedish coffee pot in Stanton, Iowa. It's a large Swedish coffee pot. It's got a lovely flower design on the side of it. That's adorable. I love that. Let's see. It is fully capable of holding 150,000 gallons of water. Or 2.4 million cups of coffee. Who did the math on that? That's smart. I love that. At Stanton, Iowa, world's largest Swedish coffee pot. Look it up. Next one. The world's largest and second largest cherry pies in Traver, Michigan. And I got to look that up before I pronounce it wrong. Really glad I looked that up now. Okay. Charlevoix, Michigan. Spelled Charlevoix, Michigan. You know, Michigan's really shaping up to have a lot of these. How far is it from here? Let me see. That's right. Charlevoix, Michigan is about... Go on, starting point. Where the fuck else would I start from? My own house. If I want to go to Charlevoix from where I live, it would be... Come on. 36 hours. I'm not doing that. Okay. Oh, I like this one. I've seen this one a lot. Columbus, Ohio has the field of corn. But like... giant pieces of corn. Really, really big pieces of corn. 50-foot corn gazebos. Damn. Oh, wait, no, that's 150-foot corn gazebo. How much are each one? Well, there's 109 white corn statuettes. How big are the statues? There's no information on that. Oh, come on. Right, okay. The world's largest ear of corn is in Olivia, Minnesota. That one is 25 feet tall. Oh, I know this one. The world's only corn palace in South Dakota, Mitchell, South Dakota. The world's only corn palace, by the way. I actually have seen this place, but it was featured in, what's his name? Ted Nevison, in one of his YouTube videos where they go out to every, I forget what it was, every, what the hell is it called? Rainforest Cafe. They go to every Rainforest Cafe and they drive by one of these and they stop by it. And it looks really fun. I like that. Oh, that's it? Oh, well. Well, yeah, the Midwest is full of a bunch of little interesting adventures. The difference between this and other places to visit, right? Other countries to visit is that if you're going to the Midwest, you have a long drive ahead of you, okay? It's a big country out there, okay? The United States is a fucking massive landmass, okay? It would be like trying to drive through Russia in one sitting. You just can't do it, you know? I mean, you could try. There's actually a race that people have from, I believe it's New York to California, right? Across the entirety of the United States. And it's stupidly hard to finish, right? Like, you have to modify cars heavily because no amount of car modifications that already exist that are legal would get you from point A to point B in one sitting. And even with this, you still have to fuel up because there's just so much room. Here it is. I forgot what it was called, but I remember we mentioned it on the podcast before. I think it's time we gave it its due diligence. Fuck me, I cannot speak today. It's called the Cannonball Run. It's an unsanctioned speed record for driving across the United States, typically accepted to run from New York City's Red Ball Garage and the Portofino Hotel in... God damn it. Huh? Who the fuck... Why is Che Guevara messaging me on Instagram? Anyway, from New York to Los Angeles, okay? Covering a distance of about 2,906 miles. As of October 2021, the overall record is 25 hours and 39 minutes. Even if you tried to drive the entirety of the United States, you couldn't do it in one day. 25 hours, 39 minutes... And that's with an average speed of 112 miles per hour. Let's see. Driven by Arne Toman and Doug Tebba in May of 2020. This is them going a stupidly illegal speed, by the way. The record was broken multiple times during the COVID-19 pandemic, taking advantage of a reduction in both road users and law enforcement presence. So even without traffic, you still couldn't do it in one day. In April of 2020, an anonymous crew traveled from the Red Ball Garage to the east side of Manhattan to the Portofino Hotel in Redondo Beach, California, a total of 2,825 miles in 26 hours and 38 minutes. The team averaged 106 miles per hour. The record was completed in a 2019 Audi A8L with additional fuel tanks in the rear storage. So not only just the fuel tanks in the car with the fucking Audi, by the way, it had additional tanks of fuel. They didn't try to stop, right? They really tried not to stop, but they couldn't. That's not how this works. It's an interesting balance, too, when you think about how far you're racing. Because not only do you have to balance the weight of the vehicle with the amount of fuel you're burning, but you have to understand that fuel itself has weight to it. So even if you're burning through it, at some point you're going to be light, so you're going to be able to go way quicker, but then in going way quicker, you will lose more fuel, right? And also, if you're driving in cities and such, you will burn through fuel faster because the stopping and going of the car is going to burn through fuel faster. That's why when you see like new cars or when you see the cars like miles per gallon, it'll say city versus country. Because country, you're driving straight lines. You're going really far. City, you're stopping a lot. And city's always going to be way less miles per gallon because it just... stopping the car and then speeding it up again, guess what? That takes momentum. But if you're driving in a straight line, you have that momentum and you're not stopping, so you're good. It's easier to keep the speed than it is to stop and then continue. That's also why your electric bill goes up if you turn off and on your AC system instead of just leaving it running. Fun fact, by the way. Continuing to talking about the Midwest, there's something that happens, I think, every few years. It's not every year. At least I don't think. What? Anyway, some years it's worse than others, but cicadas, when they come out of the ground, when they're brooding, mating, I don't remember, they hatch from the ground and they come out and they start like buzzing and they make a lot of noise to mate and, you know, they'll like crack out of their skin as well. They'll leave shells of their skin on trees. I don't know how that works exactly. All I know is that it's a bunch of bugs. And the thing is, I have kind of an obsession with bugs. I'm not going to say I'm like creepily obsessed with it. I just think that they're interesting. But this goes back from when I was a kid, by the way. That's kind of cool. Like, if you look at a bug under a microscope, it looks kind of cool, okay? Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that it's not cool. It's just the anatomy of a bug is interesting. But I've never, ever in my life seen a cicada up close. And I want to. It's one of those bucket lists things, okay? I have a massive bucket list, by the way. If you guys are wondering how big my bucket list is, I don't even know where to start. Because I have so much shit in there that... The thing is, I have a lot that I've already done. Which is good. I like that. I like that I've done a lot on the bucket list. But at the same time, I know that I have a lot of other stuff left to do. One of them is to be present when cicadas are coming out of the ground. Or when cicadas are coming, like, you know, when they're in season. The thing is, everyone I know who's been around cicadas say they're incredibly annoying. So, it's kind of a hit or miss for me, right? I mean, or in my head, I think it's a unique experience, sure, you know, granted. But at the same time, it's something that where I'm from, I'm not going to ever be able to see. You know, this is something completely unique. And yet the people who are surrounded by it say you can't even use power tools around these fucking things. Or they're going to surround your tools because they think it's a mating call. And it's the funniest thing ever thinking about that. Imagine that, though. Like, imagine if humans had something similar. Like, somebody sets off, like, a drill, and it just sounds like somebody yelling to, you know, like, fuck me. Like, how does that work in the insect? I don't know, man. They're in a ballpark of their own. But it's such a weird thought if the roles were reversed. Like, a cicada uses a drill, and humans run towards it because it sounds like, I don't know, is it the male or the female that makes noise? I think it's the male. I don't know. I do not know how cicadas work. This is how little I know about cicadas, okay? People from the Midwest are probably foaming at the mouth saying, no, that's fucking wrong, you idiot. But I genuinely don't know anything about cicadas. And yet, I would love to. You know, I'd love to be there when they're brooding. Whatever the term is called, okay? I've heard a lot of different terms. I just don't know what to use. I'm going to say brooding. Or spawning. Maybe spawning. Look, I'm so fucking immature. I'm almost 30. I still hear spawning and I think of Minecraft. The Minecraft movie was awesome, by the way. I hate that it became such a big meme to, like, shit on the place. Like, just destroy the place whenever you hear chicken jockey. That's so... Okay, now that the meme is dead, can we agree that, you know what? I don't know. It was an interesting thing to witness. Because I saw it firsthand, right? Like, it wasn't as bad as some of the videos I saw online. Like, the theater going to a full stop because somebody brought in a live chicken. Or somebody pulling the fire alarm during the last scene of the movie to ruin the entire movie for you. And everyone managing the theater just going, get out, get the fuck out. Like, I don't know. It's nice to see that, you know. Summer's definitely here and it feels good. It feels really good. It feels good for a number of reasons, okay? I have a lot to talk about, dude. I swear. Like, whenever 2 weeks pass, you guys don't understand. On your end, I know I'm just a podcast and an occasional YouTube video. But on my end, holy shit, a lot of stuff's been going on, and I'm really happy about it. But at the same time, I could honestly say that I'm a little overwhelmed, because adult life is interesting. I don't know. I have an injury, and I don't like it. I think I mentioned it a few episodes ago, that I had, like, a really bad injury on my finger, and I was just looking at it. Luckily, it is healing on its own. It's still healing. I think last episode I mentioned it, too. It's still healing. But at this point, I'm just wondering when it'll go away, because it doesn't hurt anymore, thankfully. I could play with it, touch it, my fingernail's basically, like, growing again, but it's pushing out what I'm assuming is dry blood. Luckily, nothing broke, my fingers still work, and doesn't hurt anymore. There's no oozing, there's no pus, there's no discoloration. It's very interesting, okay? It's very interesting to see the human body heal itself. But at the same time, this reminds me, you guys got to take care of your bodies, okay? Get some exercise, walk for at least 30 minutes a day, eat some fucking vegetables. That's where I'm fucking up, okay? That's where I'm fucking up. And after I was, like, injured, I realized how bad my body was healing. So I've been taking care of myself. And I'm still bad at that, okay? I'm sorry. Ramen is just very addictive. I made a video years ago about me making ramen, and that's not an exaggeration. I do eat that often. And finally, my body said no more. So the other day I was eating some and I just couldn't stomach it anymore. It's too heavy for me. That was breakfast, and no, obviously breakfast didn't stay down. Well, I didn't throw up or anything. Okay. I might have, but I didn't want to give you the image. But I'll be okay, right? Right? I hope. Okay, where did that cough come from? I don't like that. I don't like this. I think it's because I'm talking a lot. You know what? I need water. I need water. There we go. Hey, that reminds me. Hydrate, too. It's fucking summer, okay? It's summer. You got to hydrate. Unless you're in the Midwest, in which case this is probably your second winter. There seems to be two. That's what I'm noticing, right? The more I study the Midwest and the people in it and the kind of videos they make, the kind of jokes they make about everything about the Midwest, they seem to, they know two things. They know cornfields and they know the weather. The weather seems to be the main thing, right? If there's not a tornado, okay, first off, that's kind of a misconception. There's tornado warnings a lot. So they'll have basements that are finished. Some of them unfinished, but finished basements seem actually really nice. When we get more money in this house, I might actually make one. Who knows? But Jesus, that'd be a lot of money. It's just a huge hole in the ground, right? Like under the whole house. And on top of that, it has to hold the weight of the house. You know what? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's California, man. We don't have high winds at all, actually, now that I think about it. We'll have occasional high winds, especially close to the mountains, but that's it. Anyway, with regards to the Midwest, I hear that it's either winter, where it's like -5 degrees, or it's 30 degrees, but with wind chill, -5. And followed by a lot of the jokes I heard about it were basically people from the Midwest will say the wind chill is, you know, a lot colder. But they'll exaggerate a bit. They'll be like, yeah, it's 35 degrees with wind chill, -5. How cold is the fucking wind? Now, it must be pretty bad, you know, but I also hear this phrase. A lot of phrases that I hear seem to be on repeat, like, ope. I think that one's kind of funny. Also, I didn't realize that was a Midwest thing. I did use that for a lot when I was, when I would travel, I'd go, ope, sorry. So, that explains a lot. I think some people have asked me, am I from the Midwest? No, I'm kidding. No one's asked me that. See, I know I had a lot of people going, rolling their eyes saying, no, they didn't. Exactly. See? Anyway, the, another phrase I heard, it's so stupid because I heard it in, I read it in a meme and it was just donkey from Shrek with like, a whole 3-piece business suit on and his hands like in a, I don't know, his hands crossed. And it said, this is how I feel when I say it ain't the cold, it's the wind that gets you. Like, okay, the funny part is, I'm learning a thing or two, okay? One of them is that the heat in the summer is no joke, and the cold in the winter is no joke either. The cold is bad, but the wind is actually far worse, right? Like, to the point where, like, your entire windshield's frozen. Once your defroster gets going, like, you gotta go to work. So, you need traction, put sandbags in the back of the truck. And you need a seat, cut a little hole, or, like, scrape a little hole in the front so you could see. And then while the defroster's working, you'll have that little hole to look out of. That explains, I don't know. Another thing that I heard in the about the Midwest, a lot of them say, my state has the worst drivers. It's like, I mean, if you're looking through a hole to drive 55 miles an hour or 75 miles an hour or 80 miles an hour if you're in fucking Texas, then yeah, it's pretty bad. But I don't blame them, you know? I don't blame them. You don't want to be late for work. Well, I was late today and I got, I felt bad. But, yeah, that makes sense now. A lot of accidents that I see. Like, the funny part is, it's definitely more in the Midwest, because here in California, it will get cold and your windshield will frost over, but it's so thin. You know, it's so thin, the frost and whatever. It's just not a problem out here. Like, at all. And I see this and I think, I want to experience the inconveniences of the Midwest. And that's a very unique take that I hear, right? That I kind of want to have, where it's like, I know the inconveniences of California because I've lived here my whole life. I want to experience a bad day in the Midwest. The only problem is there seems to be a very different interpretation of a bad day. Some people will say, oh yeah, bad days when you're driving and there's a bad driver and he shakes his fist at you or flips you off. And you know, you've had a bad day because, you know, you had a negative interaction with someone. Because from what I've seen, most people in the Midwest are actually very polite. Here in California, people will walk into a business and just close the door behind them, right? They don't care who's behind them or how close they are. A majority of people will just look straight and not acknowledge anyone else's existence. It's kind of surreal. But you go to the Midwest, and if you're, like, walking towards a building, and someone's at the door, they'll look around to see who's coming in, and they'll hold the door open for you. And I love that. Thank you very much, by the way. Midwesterners seem to be so much more polite than Californians. And yet, they seem more real. You know, that's kind of why I was so obsessed with talking about the Midwest for this episode. Because, quite frankly, they don't get enough credit. You know, the Midwesterners are very polite. And I like that. At least from the perspective I'm getting from all the comedians from the Midwest. Because they seem to have a lot of fun out there, too. You know? They seem to have a lot of jokes. They'll say stuff like, you know, it ain't the heat, it's the humidity. Which I probably understand. I would understand more if California wasn't basically a dry desert. When it gets hot out here in California, it gets scorching. That's the one thing we do have. That it might melt a Midwesterner. They'll be out here and it's like, hey, it's 115 in Death Valley today. And then they'll be like, oh, that's terrible. And then we tell them, there's no humidity, by the way. Your nose will bleed. Here's how bad it is, right? I'm counting Nevada as not the Midwest because it seems to be too far this way. I'm basically neighbors with them, right? But every time I go to Nevada, if it's hot and the air is dry, which it often is in the desert, right? My nose bleeds. The inside of my nose, all the mucal linings and everything just shrivel up and dry in that humidity. Or that humidity, wow, the dry air. That was hard to say. I don't know why it was so hard to say. But that's not an exaggeration, by the way. I'm not poking at it. Nothing's happening. I remember one time me and my girlfriend went. We were just chilling in a cafe, and out of nowhere, I just grab the napkin and I cover my nose. And she goes, nosebleed? And I go, yeah. See, she knows me. But it's a surreal experience when you just randomly hear a... Like, I'll hear, like, the tiniest pop, and then my nose is just a fuck ton of blood coming out. Because my nostrils are not used to being this dry. I guess in California, there are some places, especially where I live, it's nice and humid, but only kind of, you know? It's not too humid. It's not too humid or too dry. It's the perfect temperature for me, you know? I thrive in this weather. So the moment I've taken out of it, it hits hard, you know? I'll admit, when we went to Nevada, we took a plane, so it wasn't like a slow transition over the desert, where if you drive from California to Nevada, you'll kind of accumulate better, but that dryness is going to hit one way or the other, you know? Especially if you're outside. We were, interestingly enough, we were indoors when this happened, but it was still embarrassing. At least for me, because we were there with family, and it's like, man, now my nose is bleeding. I got to go to the bathroom. Like, I was going to the bathroom, not because I had to shit or anything, but I just had to get away from everyone. And I had to keep stuffing my nose with paper, and I was just so dry, and it hurt. It physically hurts when my nose starts bleeding. I don't think that's normal. Dude, am I healthy? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't know. Fuck. Speaking of nostrils having a hard time, the more I learn about the Midwest, the more I realize, okay, you have a lot of rain, and it gets hot and nice and humid, so there's got to be a lot of foliage and greenery, right? There is. And to my horror, I happen to have a very bad pollen allergy, where once a year, here in California at least, not too many times it'll happen, there'll be a spring of, spring will come around and a lot of pollen will come out. And boy, do I feel it. It's not a pleasant feeling. In fact, if you go to pollen season highlights, or like days of the year, times of the year, whatever, where like spring starts, and you go listen to the podcast episodes that were recorded on that day, you can physically hear my nose. I can kind of imitate it. Hang on. Or it's kind of like this. Like, I'm not trying to. But, like, I'll talk like this, and I don't like it. And it's because my nose is so clogged, so high up, there's no clearing it. Okay. And I hate that. I hate when I have to record with that, because it's like, guys, you don't understand. I am physically trying every medicine that I can. I'm trying pseudoephedrine. I'm trying everything. And at the time, just California pollen, which ain't even that bad, according to the Midwest. I'm probably going to keel over and stop breathing in the spring if I go to the Midwest. So I might have to go during the winter. Oh, but the winters are also dry. God damn it. So if it's not incredibly humid, it's incredibly dry. Or it's springtime and it just happens to be, hey, pollen season, and I'm back, baby. That's how it is. How do I sound on the podcast? I sound terrible. That's what it is. And I don't like that. So, will I be visiting the Midwest soon? Maybe later. I got to save up some money. I really do want to go out there, okay? I want to go out to Wisconsin.
Wow.
Note to self, don't record while clogging your nose as hard as you can. That actually hurt. I want to go to Wisconsin. I like the town names there, you know? As one comedian said, because for some reason I'm getting my alerts and news from comedians, I guess a lot of comedians in the Midwest just talk about their hometown, and it's nice. A lot of the towns sound nice. I don't know. Wisconsin has a lot of cheese, right? If I remember correctly, I remember going pretty close to it. I was at Montana, and I was at Minnesota, I believe. It was right next to it. I didn't manage to go into Wisconsin, but I remember eating cheese near the state. I didn't actually go in the state, but I went near it, and I remember having some cheese curd, which I just had in a bag. It was nice. It was lovely. Some places fry them, and it's neat, you know? You have all kinds of cheese out there, and I'm a big cheesehead. I made it pretty clear in the podcast that I enjoy cheese. And unfortunately, my last episode of the YouTube series, I made the saddest cheese you've ever seen because I fucked up badly. Badly. Really badly. I made cottage cheese when I was trying to make a farmhouse cheese. Not only did I fuck it up, I don't know where I could have gone even more wrong. Even the guy in the video that I was watching was saying you have to be able to stretch it. The internal temperature has to reach 165, which I did that. And then I realized I couldn't stretch the cheese and everything. I was just slapping it around at some point. For whatever reason, YouTube claimed it as like a... Not YouTube. TikTok claimed it as like a sexual act. Which is weird to me because I'm like, I have a cutting board covered in cottage cheese that I'm moving around with my hand. How is that sexual? Is there some sort of fetish? Wow. Is there some sort of fetish I don't know about? If so, I don't want to know about it, okay? Please don't tell me. Do not tell me. Why? Oh my God. That's going to bother me later. Okay? Oh my God. Oh yeah, I recently fixed up my desk. I think in the beginning of the episode and like a few... And an episode ago, you could hear a lot of, like, rattling, right? Well, it turns out I just had something a little off balance, but you hear that solidness? We're all good now. And something rattled. Okay, I don't mind the rattling, but it bugs me when I'm recording, because then I have to stand perfectly still, and I have to control my breathing. Yeah, that cough's getting worse. I'm gonna drink some water, hang on. Surprise, it was actually tea. Speaking of tea, I have some news. I'm kidding, I don't have any. Pretty much everything I've told you on this episode has been about the Midwest. Normally I deviate for like the last part of the episode, but honestly, I couldn't in this one because I'm really obsessed with the Midwest. I have a lot of friends that have moved out from California to the Midwest and some just from the Midwest. And honestly, you guys are the reason I want to check it out. You know, it just seems so nice out there. Yeah, it does seem like there are some places where, well, just like any place, you know, evil runs amok. There's some people that are, they'll say, hey, don't go down this street. These guys, these tweakers live there. And, you know, it ruins the whole image, right? There's this unfortunate image, just this really unfortunate, like, stigma that some people have in the West Coast and the East Coast as well, where you go to Middle America or Midwest and there's like these redneck hicks. And it's like, dude, that's not how it is. Okay. That's just not how it is. There are some places where there are criminals. Like, that's just, you know, go figure. America's fucking massive. They're going to be hiding somewhere. You know, they got all the landmass to do it. The only problem is people seem to think that they're far more than there is. And I got to say, I don't see it. You know, you actually got to go out there and explore it at some point, right? I did it for a year and I never really had any problems out there. If anything, quite the opposite happened. A lot of people in the Midwest just reminded me what it is to treat a person correctly. What it is to treat your fellow man if someone's down, you know? Holding the door open, saying excuse me. Politeness is still alive and well in the Midwest. But the problem is, I'm growing fatigued of the West Coast. That's the truth. When I explored, when I was over the road, this was 4 years ago now, I miss it heavily. I miss it dearly. And the truth is, it's because the Midwest is great. But more importantly, people from the Midwest are absolutely amazing. Some of them, yeah, there's a bad egg, you know, every now and then. But that's every place. The only problem is here in California, the bad eggs blend in with the good. There's a lot of people here that, I don't know, you just don't want to trust. And some you should trust, but you don't realize. There's something about this state, there's something about the coast that makes people kind of fake. And I don't like that. It's disturbing, really. Everyone knows how to wear a mask out here. You know what I mean? A metaphorical mask. Like, I don't know, man. If I sound dramatic, nothing happened recently. It's just the vibes out here are different. It's hard to explain, really. It's hard to explain. I just saw this video and I thought it was funny. The country crock, the big tub of like butter you could buy on at stores. When you finished using the butter, you use the container. It's a perfectly good container for leftovers. And what's funny is we grew up doing that. Keep in mind, I did not grow up the wealthiest. We had Tupperware, sure, but it's a good container. You know, it'll serve its job. It'll do its purpose. And if it starts getting more and more stains, we'll either clean it or just throw it out. I don't know. I thought that was just a me thing, but it's nice seeing that I have that in common with so many people from the Midwest. So in a way, being here in California, I look to the Midwest and I think there's something out there, you know? It's just, I look to the Midwest and I see America, you know? I like that. I like that a lot. I'm sentimental for a place that I've never been to, but then again, I kind of have. I don't know. It's confusing. Maybe it's that little itch in me that wants to explore again, you know? Because I'll admit, I've been, when I was over the road, that itch was being scratched every day. I'd wake up, I was in a different, you know, city, state, didn't matter. But I was out there doing something. And I haven't been out there in a while. But I do, on occasion, save up some money and I go travel. I think it's time again. I just don't know where, you know? Yeah, I could go to Nevada again. But whatever happened to Salt Lake City? I wanted to go out there. I wanted to go to, what is it? The Great Salt Flats. The Great Salt Lake. I haven't been there in forever. And I remember the first time I went being genuinely awestruck. My jaw agape, just looking out at the endless white, thinking, is this snow? And then the light taste in my mouth of salt, just the air itself having a lovely flavor, you know? Just, wow, salt in the air, all right. It's nice. And yes, my nostrils dried up, but thankfully in this occasion, they didn't bleed. However, I remember afterwards being caught off guard by the amount of wind. So yeah, it wasn't all pleasant, but yin and yang, you have to take the bad with the good, right? Darkness cannot exist without light and vice versa. Both need to exist. So, I think of other places, right? I think of, like, gimmicky places, if I'm being honest. I'm thinking of places where it's like, oh, come see this giant ear of corn. Like, I'd love to see that. Absolutely. We don't have that here in California. You drive up north, you go down south, you'll have towns where it's like, we have a bathroom. We have a McDonald's. We have a Chili's. This town was founded by people that don't want you here. You know, stuff like that. Or this town was founded in 18 whatever. You know, like, it's kind of cool sometimes. You know what I want is, I want more access to museums. I think that's what it is. But out there in the Midwest, they just kind of live it, you know? Their history's right there. There'll be a plaque commemorating someone and a statue, you know? You know what's fucking crazy now that I think about it? Something as simple as a statue I haven't seen in this town or in weeks or months. I just haven't seen any, like, advancements in architecture. I haven't seen anything, really. Everything's kind of stagnated. And, I don't know. Maybe I need a change of scenery, at least for a little bit. Anyway, the podcast seems to be running up to a close, so I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm working on a YouTube video, and I finally got the charger for my microscope, thankfully. I got a few other gimmicky stuff as well, just something to have fun with. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I do thank you guys for continuing, you know, listening to the podcast. Your continued support really does mean a lot to me, and the podcast Patreon has been updated, so now it's just $1 a month. But most of the posts on there are going to be free. And the dollar a month is just going to be if you want to support. I don't I don't need the support. I do appreciate if you do, though. But it's nice. You know, I just... having the continued support, still having the Magic Mind plug, and having my numbers grow on YouTube is honestly fucking awesome. I love this, you know? I'm gonna keep doing this. This is a fun hobby of mine. It ain't stopping, you know? It ain't stopping. I'm getting really cold right now. My AC's blasting. Anyway, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks again. And hopefully this YouTube video will be done this week. All right, see you guys.